Was there an Adam? Was there an Eve? Or did we evolve from what we conceived? Either way, we got what we needed when the sun shone down on the Garden of Eden.
Don't you know we're gonna have a Solartopia, Solartopia, Solartopia. Don't you know we're gonna have a Solartopia all over God's green world?
Well, we bit that apple and the garden was lost, and so we had to work to pay the cost. And so we went digging into the ground and started to burn many things we found.
Yeah, baby. That's the great Star Williams singing with Pete Seeger and David Byrne, the Solartopia song written by Pete and David Burns. And I came up with the title. It's about my contribution. That song was on a Grammy-winning CD, Tomorrow's Children, from the Rivertown Kids. We are back for another hour of the Solartopia Green Power and Wellness Show. Thank you guys in New York for getting the show on the air. I know it's been a struggle over the last few weeks moving around and getting the studio together. I can't wait to see it. I am in sunny California. My buddy Bob Patrickis will be joining us from sunny central Ohio in a couple of minutes. We are on a great day here. I say that advisedly. John Kasich, the governor of Ohio, has joined the horde of millionaires and billionaires running for the presidency of the United States. I think there are officially 16 Republicans now who have thrown their bank accounts into the ring here to run against Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders and a couple others. And Kasich has a long history. I actually have been on his TV show with him on Fox News. I use the word news advisedly. Back in 2003, when the First Energy Utility Company of Northern Ohio, based in Akron, crashed the entire grid of the Northeast, depriving 50 million people of power, John had me on. I think the show was on at midnight, actually, back then. He also once called me into his office when he was a congressman to talk about the environment. I had Ralph Nader on the phone. But I got to say that John Kasich is as governor of Ohio, has a horrendous track record on the environment. And God forbid he should become president due to the national environment, the global environment, what he's done to Ohio. His first act as he came into office was to kill a $400 million grant that had come from the federal government to finally restore rail service to central Ohio. Columbus, Ohio, Franklin County, it has about 1.5 million people. Columbus is the the largest capital city in the Western world without passenger rail service. And that's thanks to John Kasich, who killed the passenger rail service, the $400 million grant. Guys in the studio, Bob Patrickis is calling me on my line. If you will call him, I sent him the number. That'd be great if you can, please. I think he's trying to connect with us. 614-374-2380 is that number. 614-374-2380. Bob, I hope you don't mind. I just give out your cell, but we got to get you on the line. Kasich then has done way more damage. Ohio had a very, very good green energy platform that had been passed under the Strickland administration to bring in renewable energy, solar, wind, especially wind. Wind is very good in Ohio. It's not mega wind like you get in the Great Plains, but in northern Ohio, the winds are steady and strong coming in off the lake. It's very flat, and there's a tremendous amount of transmission, and it's all near population centers, Cleveland, Toledo, Detroit, places like that along the lake. And Kasich actually has killed wind power in northern Ohio. Bob, are you with us?
Yeah, I am, Harvey.
Great. Okay. So talk in there. We've got a little bit of an echo. I'm talking now. Bob is in central Ohio. about the momentous occasion of John Kasich joining the presidential race. Kasich has since, in addition to killing the very good green power legislation that we had from the state, he also gratuitously killed about $2 billion of investment in wind power that was lining up to build a large utility-scale wind in Ohio. He passed into law without any kind of public hearings, any kind of public consultation, a restriction on the spacing of windmills. They have to be way, way, way back from property lines, way far away from buildings. It's a completely gratuitous attack on windmills and has basically killed the wind industry in Ohio. And this is the guy who's always been yelling and screaming about how wonderful it is to have jobs, economic development, blah, blah, blah. And the only really promising big growth industry we have in Ohio would be renewable energy at this point in time, and wind power especially, and Kasich basically ground it to a halt.
Well, Harvey, didn't you forget about that train we're building with the $400 million from the feds?
No, actually, I talked about it before we got you called in, Bob. So we did that. And, you know, we want to reiterate Columbus, Ohio, thanks to John Kasich, or no thanks to John Kasich, is the largest capital city in the Western world, not only without intercity rail transport. In other words, you cannot get as a passenger, unless you want to jump on a freight car, you can't get as a passenger anywhere in the world on a rail line to Columbus, Ohio. But there is also no rail inside Columbus, Ohio for passengers. There's no rail commuter system inside Central Ohio.
So one bus in the short north that you pedal and so you can drink on.
Yeah. Right. So Columbus, Ohio is a little town that technology forgot, really. And this is the guy who's running for president. He has serious Koch brothers funding. He has gone to kiss their we won't say what they kiss. We'll say he kissed their rings and has their blessing. So, Bob, I think it's safe to say that John Kasich is probably the leading Republican candidate for vice president. You know, the odds are, and I'm going to put my money on that either Jeb Bush or Marco Rubio with Florida roots will be the presidential nominee from the Republicans. And then John Kasich will be
Bush,
the vice president.
Bush doesn't need them because they occupy sort of the same space in the era of the Tea Party ultra-right Republicans. Rubio, I think he would make a good match with. But here's the other problem he's got, Harvey. I don't know if you touched on it. This is a man who came into the state as the Lehman Brothers managing partner and sold $500 million in junk Lehman assets into the state employees and state teachers portfolio, became a multimillionaire from selling these junk assets that went belly up, and then took over as governor and went after the pensions and tried to privatize them because they had bought all these junk assets that he sold them.
That's right. It's like killing your parents and complaining about being an orphan. So, yeah, Kasich is – but, you know – that's the kind of thing, that's the kind of Wall Street manipulation that stands these Republicans, you know, on top of the field here. I mean, Kasich is a classic robber baron governor, claiming his working class roots. His father was a letter carrier. I guess his parents were killed by a drunk driver. He's always been giving these passionate speeches about it, and you can't, of course, fault him for that. He also is extremely against, very hot against, legalizing pot, even though you and I, Bob, know plenty of people in Columbus who went to school with him who claim that he's a big pothead.
Well, that was just unofficially. Officially, he was a freshly scrubbed Nixon youth who liked to hang out with the Moonies when they were doing all that kind of, we've cut our hair short and we're not hippies.
Yeah. Well, Kasich, to me, is a really dangerous character. He doesn't have a whole lot of charisma, I got to say that.
He's twitchy. I mean, I'm thinking, you know, he's like a Saturday Night Live routine on they used to do on a Spaz. I mean, he's very he's got a lot of tics and nervous habits that I don't think are going to sell well in our TV-based culture.
Well, he just needs to smoke a couple of joints and calm down. I think he'd be perfectly fine.
You're right that he's got the secret medicine to quit himself, make himself stop spazzing.
Yeah, really. Well, we'll see. We'll see. I mean, demographically, he's the perfect choice for vice president. But, he is the governor of the state, and they do have the secretary of state, John Husted. You and I, Bob, this is our second show on why Hillary can't win. We spent the first show, the last hour, and people listening in, go back to the archive, beautifully put up by Casey at the station there, and consult our previous show, going through the history of stolen elections. It took us a whole hour just to get past 2000, and now we're headed into 2016, and people get really angry when you say that Hillary can't win. But given the nature of the structure of how the 2016 election is going to be administered, at least under the current situation, and it's really not all that far away, less than a year and a half, unless there are major structural changes, she shouldn't even bother to run. In Ohio is a perfect example of that. Bob, you and I were present at the theft of the 2004 election, where John Kerry was the clear winner and George W. Bush somehow emerged. But Ohio is one of the key states that has a Republican governor and a Republican secretary of state. Now, that list today and for 2016 includes Florida, Michigan, New Mexico, Iowa. That's enough right there to put the Republicans back in the White House. Tell us, Bob, you are a professor of political science. You have a law degree and a PhD in political science. What are the implications for the 2016 election of these key swing states having a Republican governor and a Republican secretary of state in a situation where the vast majority of the votes will be cast and counted on electronic voting machines?
Well, and the secretary of state is probably even more important than the governor, but the governor's office, which the executive branch, enforcement branch, the great figurehead who could make sure there was no theft, is in a party that has been stealing for a while. And the Secretary of State, all we have to do is say Catherine Harris, J. Kenneth Blackwell, John Husted, is that the Secretary of State, the person that counts the vote, is the ultimate power in a computer era, right? Because the central tabulators are being brought in from the counties over the internet, numerous places in which to shave votes. Also, the fact that they will in Ohio, for example, have a statewide database. So the purging of voters, the contracts to the private corporations, Harvey, are key here. Remember what Blackwell did. He went out and found one of the most extreme right-to-life zealot families in America, the Rapp family of Triad, to do the maintenance at the county levels on the computers. So that happened.
Let's review this. In 2004, J. Kenneth Blackwell was the Secretary of State of Ohio, and Robert Taft was the governor. And everybody knew that Ohio was going to be one of the three key swing states, along with Pennsylvania and Florida, to decide whether John Kerry or George W. Bush would win the election. And so J. Kenneth Blackwell, who also served as the co-chair of the committee to reelect Bush and Cheney, was administering the election as the Secretary of State of Ohio.
And
now tell us, who did he give the contract to administer? The basic work was not done by state workers. It was done by a private contractor. Is that right?
Absolutely correct. And a lot of this is in a deposition on the King Lincoln court case And the actual, you can go to the December 12, 2013 article in the Free Press called The New Revelations on the Death of Michael Connell, to actually look at the contract. I'm pulling it up as we speak on freepress.org. So he hired GovTech, right, a company run by Michael Connell. So Connell has a private company in politics, again, new media. So he's working for Rove and the Republicans, but really for Karl Rove and Bush in 2004. And his company, in his wife's name, GovTech, is doing all the computer programming in Ohio, including setting up a mere oversight if the main computers fail in Chattanooga, Tennessee. So he's essentially the leading Republican IT operative in partisan elections, and he's doing the government contract, which he signed on July 1st, 2003. So well over a year and a half before the election. And in the contract, he negotiates with J. Kenneth Blackwell. The contract, he hires in Chattanooga, Tennessee, Smart Tech, which is run by Jeff Averbeck, a far-right, born-again, evangelical preacher, to provide the server farm for the Ohio election, as well as to provide servers for George W. Bush, for Karl Rove. That's where the 20 million or so missing emails were. And they hired to maintain the whole system the Rapp family that runs Triad, this computer maintenance company and poll book company. So you've got three of the most rabid right-wing computer technocrats in America, all under contract to J. Kenneth Blackwell, and plotting for the Ohio computers to go down so computers in Chattanooga, Tennessee can, in fact, count the vote for us. And that's exactly what happened.
Right. And then at 12:20 at night, on election night, all the networks show John Kerry winning the election and winning Ohio by more than 4% of the vote. At 12:20 at night, Kerry is ahead in Ohio. And then suddenly, by 4.2%, in Ohio, I'm looking at our book, How the GOP Stole America's 2004 Election. And then suddenly there's a computer glitch. We stop getting vote counts from the server farm in Chattanooga, Tennessee, which is under private contract to count the votes for the state of Ohio in the 2004 presidential election. 2 o'clock in the morning, suddenly the vote stream, the tally resumes, and George W. Bush is ahead by 2.5% and wins the election. Now, we should point out, of course, just a coincidence that the server farm that was handling the vote count in the Ohio presidential election in 2004, where the election was decided, also housed the emails for Karl Rove and the Republican National Committee. You gotta credit these guys with a sense of humor.
Well, yeah, and also the fact that they planned this so far in advance. I mean, looking at the contract online, I mean, he was given the ability to develop the interface any way he wanted. They actually sent the state IT guy home at 9 p.m. on election night and ran the entire system with private individuals and companies, and he got paid a lot of money for doing it.
This is Michael Connell, who died mysteriously in a plane crash just after the 2008 election. right?
Absolutely. Michael Connell died a month and a half after, in a deposition, naming all of these Republican companies as setting up this so-called mirror application, which people can find at 3.07 in the contract that's on the Free Press website, is that they set up a situation in July of 2013 that the votes would go down as a, quote, failover solution to Chattanooga. It's almost like they knew the Ohio supercomputers were going to fail in advance. And all of this is in a contract that J. Kenneth Blackwell signed.
Bobby, still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. I heard that weird noise.
So, okay.
Whenever you start talking about this stuff, you might get a little weirdness on the internet.
Right. So we're gonna leave Ohio briefly. I want to come back to Ohio because I want to get to 2016, and we got to go through 2008 and 2012 first. But I do want to point out that on election night, there were 11 swing states in 2004. And the key to understanding what happened in 2004 is to look at the predicted vote that was on 12/20 at night that showed John Kerry handily winning the election, both in the popular vote and in the Electoral College. And he lost, according to the projections of all the networks, including the Mitofsky polls. Kerry lost Florida and Colorado to Bush, but he carried Michigan, Minnesota, New Hampshire, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Iowa, Nevada, New Mexico, and Ohio as of 12/20 at night. But in the morning, he had lost Iowa, Nevada, New Mexico, and Ohio. And that's what really turned the election. And every state, every one of these 11 swing states except Wisconsin, which stayed stable, but 10 of the 11 swing states showed major shifts, statistically significant shifts from the predicted outcome, from the exit polls, to George W. Bush and margins for him. 10 of the 11 states showed significant, more than 1%, up to 6.7% in Ohio, shifts from Kerry to Bush. Very, very clearly a manipulation of the vote count. And we'll come back, Bob, to 2004 in a few minutes. But I want to talk to you now about 2008 and 2012. People say to us, if the Republicans were stealing the election and spreading electronic voting machines since 2002 and the passage of the Help America Vote Act, which they've been consistently to the point now where about 80% of the coming election in 2016 will be cast and counted. 80% of votes will be cast and counted on electronic voting machines for which there is no significant paper trail. How did the Democrats win the presidency in 2008 and 2012?
Well, people can find this online. As you know, Harvey, in 2008, one day before the election, Michael Connell was under oath in a federal court deposition in Akron, being asked about the contracts from 2004. He was red hot. In 2008, you also recall that Steve Spoonamore, a Republican who had worked with McCain, had come forward, and we were negotiating with congressional representatives like John Conyers and like Dennis Kucinich to get Mike Connell immunity to testify. So there was a huge spotlight in 2008 on election theft, including Mike Connell. There also was what Obama was able to do was activate a massive grassroots movement. First of all, The Columbus Institute of Contemporary Journalism that publishes the Free Press had gathered all of the purged voters, well over a million one or so, in Ohio, and made those records available to anyone who wanted them. The Obama people actually came in, got those records, and working with Acorn, the now defunct Acorn, actually went out and re-registered a lot of voters. Obama would not have won Ohio had they not done a tremendous grassroots job at re-registering voters, something I don't think Hillary has the capability to do. And in 2012, you also may recall, the Free Press published three of the top five major stories about, number one, former Bain Company execs buying a company, buying a voting machine company, and also the secret patches. So the FBI was crawling all over the Secretary of State's office in Ohio in 2012. And remember the infamous Karl Rove meltdown?
Yes. Now, you'll recall, and maybe our listeners don't know what you're talking about with the patches, the Secretary of State's office in Ohio, run by a Republican, John Houston, did some computer manipulations on the interface between the local voting machines and the tabulating system. And you exposed that in the public press, and they had to back off, as I recall. And,
well, we actually sued. Remember, you flew out to the press club. Remember, I filed suit in both federal and state court on election day, exposing, after we'd already written about it, the so-called experimental patches placed on the voting in Ohio by the ES&S company, the same company that did these custom patches in 2004. So this time they were actually exposed ahead of time.
Right. And the Obama team, Obama, did actually, they never acknowledged us, of course, but they did pick up to a certain extent. And the grassroots network that the Obama campaign was able to activate was on the case in 2008. And somewhat lesser extent, but Obama was very far ahead both elections, and we was able to overcome the clear manipulation being done by the Republicans.
Well, and again, those people around Rove and the Bush family and key Republican operatives, McCain kind of bailed out in 2008, at least his people didn't seem to want anything to do with election manipulation, although Rove, thrives on it. But in 2012, Harvey, the Free Press, Columbus Institute of Contemporary Journalism, as you know, had a nationwide network, including people in the Bay Area monitoring in real time the computers of Ohio in all 88 counties, and we had lawyers and election integrity activists on the ground. So when the election boards would freeze up, as in 2004 prior to the steal, people would go to Cuyahoga County or Warren County and demand to know why the computers had seized up and were no longer tabulating. So you actually had extensive mobile units on the ground in key counties in Ohio.
Right, and if they're not prepared to do that, if Hillary's not prepared to do that in 2016, we're presuming she's going to be a Democrat nominee, then they just might as well forget about the election.
Now, unless there's an on-the-ground election day, election night, squad of people willing to go in the Board of Elections and demand to know why irregular things are happening and computers are grinding to a halt, there's no way really she can win in these key swing states.
Talking with Bob Fitrakis here, one of the world's leading experts on election theft, especially electronic election theft. Bob and I have been working on this issue since the previous century, especially starting in 2004. I will want to point out, before you lose track, that Bob and I, well, Bob was the attorney. I was a litigant, a plaintiff in the King Lincoln lawsuit that we successfully, and this is astounding, we successfully got a federal judgment to get all the records from all the 88 counties in the 2004 election. The Secretary of State of Ohio at the time, Jennifer Bruner, set up a repository in Columbus to preparing to receive the massive volumes of election documents from the 2004 election. And when they came to get them, 56 of the 88 counties in Ohio had destroyed, in direct contradiction to federal law, destroyed their election records. And so there has never been a recount in Ohio of the 2004 election, which I guarantee would show you that show that John Kerry had won the election. So coming into 2016, and by the way, it's very important to point out, you know, we focus on the presidential elections, but along the way, certainly since 2002, with the spread of the electronic voting machines, many state and congressional, Senate and congressional elections, not to mention statewide elections, have been stolen, mostly by the Republicans, we would have to say, including in this last, this 2014 election, at least three U.S. Senate seats, which threw the U.S. Senate into the hands of the Republican Party. I would have to credit Greg Palast, the great investigative reporter, with uncovering races in North Carolina and elsewhere that were legitimate victories for the Democrats. Also, that includes, by the way, the Florida governor's race, with legitimate victories for the Democrats, which somehow drifted into the Republican column, thereby giving us a Republican Senate. So, Bob, let's talk about now about 2016. Bob Petrakis, talk to us from Columbus, Ohio. What do you expect to see in 2016, and what can the I got to point out also, well, I was going to say, what can the Democrats do about it, but I got to point out before we proceed that Bob and I are not Democrats. We are Greens. Bob has been Green Party candidate for numerous elected offices, including governor of Ohio and U.S. Congress, I am the designated Secretary of Defense Energy for the Green Party shadow cabinet run by my favorite presidential candidate, Jill Stein. I will not be supporting Hillary Clinton in 2016. I did support Obama in 2008, but not 2012. And we are dyed-in-the-wool Greens, and one of the reasons we do this work is because when the GOP can steal elections from Democrats, the Democrats and the Republicans can certainly steal elections from us Greens, and that definitely was a question mark in the last mayoral race in Chicago. People say, well, why did the Democrats preserve this system? Precisely for elections like the one in Chicago where Rahm Emanuel, the machine Democrat, was challenged from the left. And, you know, there was no way in hell that they were going to let a left of Democrat guy become mayor of Chicago. And I'm sure that the whole election theft machine was just out in force in that election. So, Bob, in 2016, where Hillary will be running against Jeb Bush or Marco Rubio or some other godforsaken Republican, what can we expect the Republicans could do, and what do we think that Hillary could do about it?
Well, first of all, she's in a bad situation, Harvey, because of the removal of the formula for the Voting Rights Act. So we can expect them to continue in the key Republican-controlled states to do the obvious, to bring back Jim Crow, to target blacks, poor people, Latinos, to purge hundreds of thousands of voters in these states, overall millions of voters from the voting poll, right? We're familiar that it's, if you are a college student in Texas at the University of Texas in Austin and you have a picture from that state institution with your address on it and they verified who you are, you can't vote for that. But if you got your gun permit, you can vote with it. So it's so perfectly Texas.
Yeah.
So what we can expect is the same thing they did between 2004 and 2008, purge millions of voters.
So if you walk into the polling stations in Austin and you've got a student ID, you can't vote. But if you have a submachine gun, they'll let you vote.
Oh, yeah, if you got your open carry with you, that should be enough.
Right.
All you got to do is show them a real bullet.
Yeah, just shoot a few holes at the ceiling, they'll let you vote. Of course, we have to point out that this is how George W. Bush won the election in 2000. His brother Jeb purged the voter rolls by more than 90,000, almost entirely black and Latino citizens, and Bush won the election by less than 600 votes. What's happened now, Hillary, actually, the Democrats have spoken out a little bit. They've made a few peeps here and there about people being purged from the voter rolls and talking about the Voter Rights Act, but they haven't done a whole lot.
Well, they actually are suing early in Ohio, which isn't a bad move. But the problem isn't just that they're going to purge the voting rolls. In Ohio, again, Triad with the far right-wing rap family controls most of the electronic poll books. What they've done, Harvey, is moved away from paper poll books to computer poll books. And it looks like they've almost got an algorithm where they can toss every 10th or 15th Democrat. So people show up to vote all the time in the nine urban areas of Columbus, Cincinnati, and Cleveland, and Columbus and Youngstown, Dayton, Toledo, but they show up and often they're no longer on the voting rolls. So first you can expect tremendous manipulation of the computerized voting rolls. Then the way they're treated at the polls, where often obvious Democratic voters, and I mean blacks and Latinos and college students, will be ushered into provisional voting lines or denied the right to vote. So that will happen on Election Day. And prior to Election Day, people will be called up from databases and told if they got parking tickets or a traffic violation, they'll be arrested if they vote. That's what George W. Bush did, and it's probably the same formula Jeb will use. You use public record data mining to lie to people using, in the case of George W., Rove used the mighty Texas Strike Force to call up and tell people who are on probation they're not eligible to vote in Ohio.
Which, of course, is not true. But,
yeah, absolutely not.
Right. And then, of course, there's also the vote on Wednesday strategy, which was used in 2004, where the Republicans send out letters on official-looking stationery advising that because of the expected large turnout, Republicans will vote on Tuesday and Democrats will vote on Wednesday. That's one of my favorites. I like that one. What else are they going to be doing in 2016, Bob, that Hillary is should be prepared for?
Well, the level of trickery is quite obvious and well established. Freshly scrubbed young people will show up at nursing homes in Cleveland and Columbus and Cincinnati and urban area to pick up. They'll be properly dressed to pick up the absentee ballots. Those ballots will never see the light of day. They will be dumped. They will be shredded. They'll use that And again, there's a lot of these tactics. They'll call people up and direct them to the wrong voting poll. Remember what Blackwell did. If you were at the right location, but in the wrong precinct, even if you were directed there by a poll worker, you were not allowed, your vote would not count for president. So he changed this. For the first time in history, a presidential vote cast in the wrong precinct at the same location wouldn't count. So they'll call people up and direct them. Houston will probably shuffle the polling places in the inner cities of Ohio, and then they'll direct people to their old polling place, where if they vote there, their vote won't be counted for president.
But the key to the election in 2016 is going to be the electronic voter rolls, in other words, the registration books, and then the electronic vote count. Now,
well, you got to get close enough. You got to get within, 10 points or so. They like it to be within the margin of error, but I think they'll steal up to 10 points. You've got to suppress the vote enough to switch it at the end and make it seem plausible with some story. Last-minute surge of Republican women in the late afternoon who are praying together, that kind of stuff.
So what arbitrarily, and I know this is going to be arbitrary, but what percentage, what margin does Hillary Clinton need to win in 2016 with the popular vote to have that translate into a win in the actual vote count?
I think she needs to win by 10%. In fact, I had a Democratic operative tell me when I explained all this to him, so what? All that means is we need to win by 10%.
That's like going into the World Series, and the Yankees and the Dodgers are playing, and the Dodgers have to win by 5 runs in order to make it count. I like that.
It's kind of a gentleman's handicap for the Ivy League Republicans.
Right, it's the skull of handicap there. Right, it's their bonus. So, of course, Jeb didn't go to Yale, so I don't think that'll count for him. Did he? Jeb Bush didn't go to Yale, did he?
I'm going to have to look that up. We know W had one of the lowest math scores to ever get into Yale.
And then he
got to go to Harvard Business School. So I'll look that up as we speak.
Well, talk about a handicap, Anyway, so what can Hillary Clinton do to not have the vote count stolen electronically in the swing states where there's a Republican Secretary of State?
Well, they've got to start now and register everyone. They need to make public records requests for all the purged voters in the state. So that needs to be done. Unless you have an active ground game to register the hundreds of thousands of voters they're going to purge, unless you have the actual public records and attorneys suing for them, is that they'll suppress so many people in these key states, it'll be over before it ever began. And remember, in most of these states, they control the electronic poll book, so they can purge as many as they need.
The Republicans do.
Yes.
So that's the key. The Republican secretaries of state in Florida, Ohio, Michigan, Iowa, Arizona, which would be enough. Those electoral votes are going to decide one way or the other. It's pretty clear. I mean, we know how the Electoral College works. It was set up to preserve slavery, or the power of the slave owners. We have had at least 5 elections in American history where, thanks to the Electoral College, the guy who came in second actually wound up in the White House. That includes 1800, mm-hmm. 1824, 1888, 1876.
I would contend 1896 and, of course, 2000. And then in 2004, the same deal really, except that they stole the vote count as well. So in 2016, what's going to happen is the Republicans who control the electronic poll books, that would be the books that have the record of who is eligible to vote, and will decide when people turn up at the polls to vote whether or not they're eligible. Those electronic poll books are in control of the Republican secretaries of state in the key swing states. And what we're predicting with some certainty that the Republican secretaries of state will do will be to purge those voter rolls of people who are legitimately registered but likely to vote Democrat.
They'll be purging them this year. And oddly, in like states like Ohio, you're not supposed to purge an election year. But as you and I recall, we wrote that article in 2004 when they had purged over 300,000 voters in an even number year that was absolutely illegal. And by the way, Bush says that he went to Jeb Bush, the University of Texas.
Oh, okay. So he was not in Skull and Bones. He was in the submachine gun club. So then... Once the votes are counted, are cast, of course, there are things that can be done to the electronic voting machines and the vote count. My favorite remains Youngstown, Ohio, where at least eight machines, counting up to 1,500 votes each, voters would turn up. They would push on the touchscreen. They would push John Kerry's name, and George W. Bush would light up.
Yeah, they ultimately admitted it was 31 machines that were reported with the problem.
Right, and they did turn up again in 2008, as I recall. So
yes.
How does a public interested in an accurate vote count deal with tallies coming from electronic voting machines? How is there any transparency that can be obtained for a monitoring of these electronic voting machines in terms of the vote count?
Well, they've repeatedly been protected, of course, under the trade secrets. They're trade secrets. They're proprietary, so nobody has a right to look at the programming or the source code.
So you're saying that if you have a contention, let's say the Democrats, let's say that the pre-election polls show that Hillary is winning in Ohio and Florida, and then magically the Republican nominee gets the nod from the electronic voting machine. And the Democrats.
In many cases, the exit polls will show the Democrats winning because people will come out and think they voted for Kerry when the machine then flips their vote. So they're coming out and telling the exit poll person how they actually, the exit pollster, how they actually voted, and the machine is recording differently.
Well, I'm going to predict that the Republicans are going to do everything they can to prevent exit polling from occurring in 2016.
Well, they've already gone after the gold standard of polling. It's what the U.S. State Department uses to determine fraudulent elections outside the United States is the exit poll, the most accurate polls in the world. So what Karl Rove has been doing for years is to say, oh, people are lying, oh, they're reluctant responders, oh, exit polls aren't accurate. They've been saying everything that is in direct opposition to all the evidence that these polls are highly accurate. Not because people can tell you how they're going to vote, but that's not often. They can vote different. At an exit poll, they're telling you exactly how they voted, randomly and in a representative fashion. So that's why they got to destroy the exit polls, because that's the last barrier to cheating.
Right, and in Germany, where they have paper ballots, the exit polls are accurate to within 0.25%.
Mm-hmm.
So, And so we can expect that the Republicans are going to be attacking exit polling in 2016. Let's say now that we do have exit polling. The exit polls show in Ohio and Florida that Hillary has won, but the electronic vote count comes in and shows that she's lost. What can her proponents do to challenge that, if anything?
Well, you know, they could, in fact, be prepared to file to impound the machines. If they got election observers and integrity people on the ground, they could actually do what Kerry promised to do with $7 million in the bank, but he failed to do. A lot of these machines, if you impounded them right away and demanded a recount, you would be able to bring in forensic computer experts to go over the logs, the computer logs, and to audit these machines. What the Republicans have begun to do is realize it's better to steal a lot so the elections aren't real close, because the Democrats, even if the exit polls say they're winning, are afraid to be called sore loser people, like sore right. loser men for Gore.
And we have to give a serious nod here to both John Kerry and Al Gore, who for actually absolutely rolling over and doing nothing about election theft, especially John Kerry. At least Gore took the general results of the Supreme Court, never said anything about vote theft or disenfranchisement, electronic vote disenfranchisement. Mm-hmm. Al Gore to this day has never said a word about that. John Kerry did him better in 2004 with 250,000 votes uncounted in the state of Ohio, being behind only 130, being told from every direction possible that the election was stolen. In less than 12 hours, he got up in front of, at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, the day after the election, got up in front of the world media and threw in the towel, and has never said a word in public since about the theft of the 2004 election. Mm-hmm. Now, we assume that the Clintonistas are going to take the same route, and I can just right now see Hillary Clinton having gone into the election ahead, graciously conceding, as did Charlie Crist just now in Florida, where clearly there's no way in hell that the Florida was going to reelect this lunatic Rick Scott, and yet in comes Charlie Crist, and meekly, as did Kay Hagan in North Carolina, meekly concede elections where they clearly had won. So you're saying, but how can the Democrats or those who we would do it actually as Greens impound these machines and then get any kind of access to them if the source codes are protected by the courts?
Well, there's certain areas where it will be real obvious that they tampered with the machines. And so they've got to pick where their best evidence is, and they've got to actually be keeping track of that all during the election process and anticipate it. I mean, some of it, if they were brave enough and confrontive enough, which usually they're not, usually you've got all these, you know, probate attorneys that flew in from Connecticut that are volunteering that aren't very aggressive. What you've really got to do is insist that people be given the provisional ballots, but also that they actually look in the poll books and take the often the data and ID that people have showing that they're registered to vote. I've seen areas where a couple hundred young black male voters were simply told to vote provisionally, of which, you know, 17 to 25% of those votes will never be counted. And many of them said, but I know I'm in the book. I just saw it on the poll book. So people need to fight very hard for their right to vote.
Yeah, and I just want to say, because we're running out of time here, the people who are supporting Bernie Sanders, who were mostly Obama supporters in 2008,
2008 when he was first running, they would be of the mind to go in and do this kind of stuff. Hillary is a corporate candidate. She's going to be our Maggie Thatcher. She does not have the fire in the belly people behind her. Unless she really does something to fire up the grassroots, I can't see her people, her Clintonistas, you know, going in there and doing this kind of really hard work to make sure that there's a decent vote count. And that's the only way that Jeb Bush or Marco Rubio or whoever else it is that's going to get the Republican nomination is going to get beat in 2016. So we've been talking with Bob Fitrakis. Bob, we're going to have to do another half hour next week, if you don't mind, just to make sure we've got this all wrapped up. I want to lay down these two shows in the archive so that people are going to listen to this and understand what's really involved here in 2016. I don't have any doubt at all that the Democrats could win the popular vote in 2016. I don't care how much money the Koch brothers want to spend. People know that this you know, horde of idiots running for the White House from the Republican side is completely corrupt, and none of them are capable of being anywhere near a decent president. I do not like Hillary Clinton's politics, but I have no doubt she can handle the presidency. As Obama. Obama has been a remarkably efficient, you know, I hate a lot of things he's done, but he has definitely handled the office. There's no doubt. It's probably the most scandal-free administration in the history of the United States. Obama's not a single person that I know of from the whole administration has been indicted in 8 years. Do you know of anyone from the Obama administration?
Nothing really sticks out.
No, it's quite amazing. He's been true to his wife. Of course, he'd kill him if he went out and did something. But, you know, it's been a remarkably squeaky clean administration. And I'm sure that Hillary could handle the job better than those Republicans. But, you know, I hate her politics. But the fact is that unless these guys, the Democrats, are willing to come out, it's going to get stolen. And you and I, Bob, as Greens, we're going to try to go out and protect it. So listen,
Jeb Bush went to Phillips Academy in Andover for prep high school.
There you go. Thank you for another hour. Thank you, crew in New York. We really appreciate it. We'll be back next week with another half hour on election theft with the great Bob Trakas from Columbus, Ohio. See you next week. Thank you.
Thanks.
So from Seabrook to Shoreham Town, we have to shut those new plants down, but don't you know we're gonna